one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live on this rainy Monday. It's pouring rain. I guess we needed it, though. John Reed, Charlie Collier. Yeah, that's right. Three more hours of Charlie. What a man. How are you today, Chuckles?
Pretty good, I guess.
You've had how many hours to try to consider how you're feeling today? And when I asked you, you had to think about it?
For the most part, I'm just thinking about being sunburned.
Yeah, I saw you out on the lake on the internet.
Very burned.
Did you have a good time?
We actually, yeah, we had a lot of fun. So I was supposed to, it was my friend's birthday.
Okay.
It was also one of her friend's birthdays.
Okay.
So they were having a joint birthday party.
Well, please note, I didn't see any girls in your picture. I just saw you with two dudes. So I didn't know.
Those were actually the only two dudes there.
Okay, I didn't know you were at a...
Yeah. So they rented a boat for the day on Center Hill Lake, and they all drove from Nashville, and I drove from Knoxville. And I was supposed to meet him at 9 a.m. Central Time to get on the boat. Instead, I woke up on my couch with a dead phone at 9 a.m. Central Time and a bunch of missed calls.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, we knew you were going to back out. Like, we knew that you weren't going to do this. I was like, no, I promise. I'll be there. I'm on the way. And then I stopped to get gas, and I looked at my phone, and the last text I had was just, hey, so we don't really have service here. I don't really know how long you want us to wait on you, but once we leave, no idea how we're going to find you. So there's that. And that was from like 20 minutes before, and I still had an hour and a half to get there. But I somehow found him.
Where'd you find him?
Conveniently enough, I just went to the to a store, like a little restaurant that had bathrooms and sold some food items, whatever else.
Yeah,
and just waited there, and 30 minutes later, I saw them come by to go find a bathroom, and I was like, "Hey, it's me!" And they picked me up. It was nice. Spent the rest of the day out on the boat.
Love whenever divine intervention takes place. Yeah.
But got very, very burned.
No sunscreen?
No, I mean, I've never really been a sunscreen guy.
You need to take care of yourself. Skin cancer is real.
Yeah, I know. But like,
yeah,
I just put
some sunscreen.
I really hate sunscreen.
Why?
I just think
it's
the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
There's nothing uncomfortable about
my day. I feel with the rest of the day.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're sunburnt then.
But so I didn't wear sunscreen, and then now I never really burned either, though. I'd always just tanned in the past, so I didn't think it was an issue.
I'm glad you're burnt.
Today.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Very burned. Like, I can just feel the fabric of the skin of my shirt touching my skin and it burning.
Good.
I also have, like, roughly a gallon of lotion soaked into my skin right now.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Which is, I guess, more uncomfortable than the sunscreen would have been. No, I think this was a lesson. I think this was a point for me where I was like, all right, you know what? You're 23.
It's time to get on the sunscreen
train.
It's
time to be a man and take care of yourself.
Yeah. Skin cancer's real. It's out there. The silent killer.
I mean, I guess so. So, yeah, that was pretty much my weekend was that. Watching some sports. Watched some, like, Rough and Rowdy on Friday night.
Other than
that, pretty good. Really a good weekend all around. So, I guess I am doing good. The Heat won, too.
But he did win.
I don't know why I had to think about it. I guess just the sunburns throwing my vibe off.
It was an impressive Heat victory.
Yeah, it was.
Vol baseball with a sweep.
But
your sports teams didn't let you down. Sounds like a pretty good weekend. You got to go to a birthday party?
Actually, yeah.
Sounds like you had a great weekend.
Good. Everything's good all around.
I just brought you lunch.
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
Feels like it'd be hard to be better if I was Charlie Collier.
The only way I could be a little bit better is if this was all tan instead of red.
It's okay. It'll get there. Just keep lotioning yourself up.
Oh, yeah. All the lotion. Yep. I hate lotion, too. I have lotion just because I use it on my feet.
Yeah, that's why you have lotion.
Serious, I get.
Yeah, yeah.
I have very
dry
feet.
For your feet, yeah.
My feet are really dry.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They need to be moisturized.
Yeah.
Except every time I put lotion on my feet, that I just end up slipping around.
I'm sure that's it, Chuckles.
Well, how was your weekend?
My weekend, it was too hot for your boy. When it's that hot, I didn't really feel like
it's
doing it.
It's already too hot?
Well, I just didn't feel like going out. I didn't have anything really to go out and do in the heat. So I just stayed inside for the most part. Went bowling on Friday. That's the best I've bowled since college, so I'm feeling pretty good about my bowling game.
As you should.
Yeah, yeah. So that felt good. Saturday, went to the movies. Took my mom to see a really weird movie.
It's always the best kind of movie to take your mom to see.
And she said she hadn't been to the movies in like years. And I was like,
you gave her the worst impression.
Well, I was like, I don't know if this is the one you want to go to. She's like, no, it's fine. It's just hot. Let's go get in the air conditioned somewhere. So we went to a movie. Very, very weird movie.
What movie was it?
You know we've talked about it. I'm a A24 little piggy.
Absolutely love A24 myself.
They got a new scary movie out called Men. So I went to see that with my mother.
The title's scary enough.
I mean, it was just basically men are scary. The plights of being a woman out here by yourself was essentially the premise of it. It's just kind of weird to watch with your mom. But either way, it was fun. I don't know if I would recommend it.
I have not seen anything about that movie.
Yeah, it's fairly new. I think it came out last week. Actually, yeah, this was the first weekend for it.
Oh, this is a creepy man.
Yeah, yeah, they're really playing up how men are bad. So, again, I don't know if I would recommend it. Then I binge-watched some TV I've been meaning to watch. Knocked off another movie off my list I've been meaning to watch, another A24 movie, The Lighthouse. I've been meaning to watch that one. I watched that one.
Good?
Yeah, it was good. Robert Pattinson and Defoe, just obviously brilliant performances from them. Watched some basketball. Hung out with some friends. I can't really complain about the weekend. But now it's rainy. Which I do appreciate that it's rainy like during the week and sunny on the weekend, which I didn't take advantage of, but still. Nothing to complain about.
Too hot for you. You grew up. Well,
I didn't have anything that I needed to do outside. I mean, like the only thing I could have done was just like go lay by the pool, I guess. But I wasn't feeling the pool, so I just stayed inside and watched TV. I'm not one of those people that has to get outside for the sake of getting outside.
It's good for you.
I know some people like it. I mean, I'm not like always inside, but I just didn't feel the need to go outside, so I stayed inside. If that makes sense.
It does.
Some people are just like, hey, go outside. It's pretty. Like, I don't want to. I'll go outside if I have something to do, but otherwise I'm going to stay inside.
Well, raining? Is it going to rain all day today and then like the rest of the week?
I haven't checked the old forecast. I don't know.
But I guess we need it.
I assume we always need it whenever it rains and like when it's hot. So somewhere, somebody's getting helped by the rain. God, out on the farm somewhere.
Well, rain makes corn.
Yeah, okay, Luke Bryan.
Corn makes whiskey.
Which, by the way, I did see the very end of American Idol last night. It was the finale last night.
Last night was the finale?
Yeah, last night was the finale.
Another season.
And first of all, big takeaway is so glad someone got in Katy Perry's ear. And I was like, hey, you got to go back to the dark hair. Like, enough of this blonde. Enough. Second thing was there was a girl on there who finished second, and her name was Hunter Girl.
Excuse me?
They kept calling her Hunter Girl.
Hunter Girl.
Hunter Girl.
Hunter Girl. Wait, is that real name?
No, apparently not.
Well, I typed in Hunter Girl, and the first tweet I see is unpopular opinion. I don't understand Hunter Girl's appeal. And a lot of people agree.
I mean, I don't know. That was the first episode I'd seen. I only watched like the last 20 minutes to see like who, you know, the finalists were and everything. And they were fine. I thought she was good. But I just kept getting thrown off by her name being Hunter Girl. But I just Googled it and it says her name is not actually Hunter Girl. It's just Hunter.
My new favorite thing is reading American Idol fans' tweets. No one won American Idol, but it's Hunter Girl who will have the prolific career. Make no mistake about that one.
I mean, she did seem like she had some appeal. Like, I would imagine she will get a pretty good music contract and have a chance, and, you know, both of them will get kind of pushed, and we'll see if either one of them make it.
Her name is Hunter Wolkanowski.
Yeah, which I understand why she didn't want to go by that. So, Hunter girl works, I guess.
23-year-old. Oh, she's from Winchester.
Yeah, she's a Tennessee girl.
All right. She has a song called Liar Liar.
I don't know.
If I Had a Beer.
I don't know what song she has. I know the guy sang Rihanna, which was a little surprising because he didn't look like a guy that was going to sing Rihanna. And then he won, and then he performed, I guess, his single, and I didn't like the single. And I was like, this guy's not going to make it. That was just my take, but
I need to know why she goes by Hunter Girl. I'm on her website. She comes from a long tradition of military service. Deep respect for our veterans.
Loves the troops.
She works with therapy, music organizations, children's hospitals. She's really the perfect girl. Started writing songs and singing at age 9. But they just don't mention even once why she goes by Hunter Girl. I feel like that'd be the first thing you'd mention in your about you, or at least like one of the first three.
But then I turned and watched Andrew Wiggins destroy Luka with one of the best dunks you'll ever see in a game. Watched the Warriors go ahead and put the stranglehold on them. Maybe we'll get a gentleman's sweep. Maybe they'll let them win game 4. But the Warriors seem destined to go back to the finals. In the East, I thought, you know, that was a big-time performance by the Heat. The series odds still have that as a coin flip, so we'll see who is going to come out of the East to play them. I feel like whoever wins the East is going to beat the Warriors in the finals, but we'll see. That was one of the takes I had that didn't age very well, not being able to understand why the Mavericks were plus 185 and thinking they had a chance to win that series. They do not have a chance to win that series. That was a bad take. That one's on me. I'll wear that one. But we will talk about what's going on here in Knoxville after the break as the Vols finish off a dominant SEC regular season, now get set for postseason play. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
Back on the program, Tennessee takes care of business, gets a big sweep. The game 1 Thursday, absolute beatdown. Game 2 on Friday, we had asked Charlie, would you know Mississippi State quit? They did not quit. They came out, they played hard. They had some pride. Good for them.
Some edge to them, too. I mean, Buddy on the mound was running his mouth for a good while there as he really mowed down Tennessee for 7 innings before Gilbert got him.
Nope, he pitched really well, and I liked that win from Tennessee, though, a lot, just because it did show that they just kind of hung around, that they cared, they didn't fold, and they got back to some of that late-inning magic where they just keep coming and coming and coming, and then eventually kick the door down and break through. That was nice to see. Then, of course, game 3 on Saturday was just more of like, hey, we're just going to, you know, keep the bats going and score double-digit runs again. What were your big takeaways from the weekend, Charlie?
I think my biggest takeaway was Tidwell, to me, still feels like a guy that should be in your 3 pitchers in the postseason.
Okay, because he was the guy that came in to close the door in game 2. He looked really, really good out of the bullpen.
I mean, he struck out, I guess, you know, you could look at it one of two ways. You could look at it like, hey, he was great out of the bullpen. Why don't we have him do that in the postseason, too? Like, why don't we get more of that from him?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 5 Ks, no base runners allowed. Ended up getting the win in that game.
9 up, 9 down.
But my takeaway is that he's ready to go. And he's the guy that you want starting a game because he can get you, you know, 7 or 8 innings of really good baseball. He's also the only one that, you know, will come into it with the postseason experience that I think could be pretty valuable for, you know, for a pitcher to have. He's one of your 3 most talented starters. And we had this talk earlier. You were talking about like Ben Joyce as a closer, for example, like just who has the best stuff. You know, who has the highest potential. I still think, I mean, when you look at these 3 starters, Blade Tidwell was one of the 3 guys with the best stuff and highest ceiling. So for me, I still kind of want to see him in the rotation, especially after this weekend.
That was his best performance of the season so far.
That and the game against Florida where he had the pitch count that he was excellent in.
Yeah. I just thought he was like overwhelming though on Friday. Like I thought that was his best stuff, and like, you know, just late in that game, you could see him kind of tap into the whole psycho side of his personality and just his blowing fastballs by people and storming around the mound. Like he looked like a predator out there,
which I hadn't really like seen from him. I feel like he's always been more of like a quiet killer. It feels like.
I don't know. It definitely jumped out to me though on in his performance on Friday. So. Maybe that was the most I'd noticed as well.
Maybe it's just the emotion of everything he's kind of gone through this year for it to get to that point in the final weekend of the year, and he's dealing.
And a little bit might have to do with the team kind of switching gears now. Like, if you're the team, like, I would imagine in that dugout, that clubhouse or whatever, like, you're talking about, okay, guys, now it's time to go. Like, now it's time to flip the switch. We got to take it up a level. And a team that I don't want to say has been bored. But, I mean, they've pretty much had everything locked up the last, like, month, really, right? I mean, they had the SEC kind of in hand. It was going to take a big collapse to not win, you know, the conference, obviously even more so with the division. And they've had a top, you know, two or three seed locked up pretty much, again, since April. But now, like, it's time to go, and now is time to, you know, make or break your season, but also like how a lot of these guys are going to be remembered. Like it has to be exciting to try to be like a, you know, a part of a group that's going to try to bring a national championship to a fan base that's starving for a national championship.
I mean, yeah, this entire team has the opportunity to now cement themselves as one of the most beloved Tennessee Tennessee athletics teams of all time.
I would say they're almost already there. Like, I mean, you know, I know baseball, we have a little bit different of a grading curve. But I would say even more so, Charlie, would be like a chance for a Tennessee team to have maybe the best regular season, postseason combination, like to be the most dominant, to be the best team maybe in Tennessee sporting history, or at least of the last like 40 years. Like I know everyone's going to point to the 1998 Vols, but you know they didn't necessarily overwhelm people the same way this baseball team has, right? And I know that might be a little blasphemous, and I don't mean to, like, take away from that team. But, like, you know, there's a couple lucky breaks there. And, you know, you beat Florida in overtime by a field goal.
You
beat Syracuse at the gun, like, by, you know, you have to hit a game-winning field goal there. And then, yeah, like you said, against Arkansas, you trip, you fall, and, like, you get lucky, and you capitalize, then you go down the field and score. But, you know, this team has been a juggernaut the entire season. I don't know what we could say. You know, how many other teams in Tennessee history we could even say that about? I mean, I'm sure there's some Pat teams there we would mention, you know, from the late 90s that led, you know, wire to wire and, you know, went undefeated. And, you know, those teams were great. But this baseball team, again, has a chance to be a Mount Rushmore Tennessee athletic team.
I mean, yeah, entering the postseason, one of the most beloved teams to ever come through, if they're not already that. Like you said, one of the best teams to come through Tennessee. And I think probably if they win a national championship, that's how they cap off this season, they'll have a pretty good case to be the best college baseball team of all time.
I kind of jokingly started talking about that, you know, after the Ole Miss and Vandy series, but, you know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I started calling them the best team in college baseball history, kind of joking about it. But they do have a chance to kind of submit themselves as that. At least, you know, again, put themselves in the conversation, and if you want to call it Mount Rushmore, of like one of the four best teams in college baseball history and one of the four best teams in Tennessee athletics history, then, you know, that's probably something that you can't even really argue if they're able to finish off this postseason the way they did the regular season. And it feels good to see them come out of Mississippi State and, you know, say what you will about Mississippi State. I know they're the defending champions, but they were ready for their season to be over, and credit to them for fighting, credit to the fans and all that. But, like, it felt good for Tennessee to go down there and handle business and kind of remind you, okay, this team does have everything you need. It does have timely hitting. It does have dominant pitching. I mean, just arm after arm you can rely on. The depth of this staff is, you know, I don't want to say unparalleled, but, like, no one in college baseball this year has anything even remotely to it. Like, it's kind of wild that you feel robbed when you see the all-SEC team announcements that, like, you know, all three guys in the weekend rotation didn't make first team all-SEC because they should have. And it was almost like the SEC was like, hey, we can't do that. So they put Drew Beam on the second team. But it felt like you have the three best pitchers in, you know, college baseball, or at least in the SEC this year, once Florida's guy went out and, you know, all of that. But this team is dominant, and it felt good to dominate again.
I mean, the SEC's three ERA leaders this season were just Tennessee's weakened rotation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they all probably should have been.
And I read that Tidwell would have been, you know, among there too if he had enough innings to qualify, but he didn't hit the innings threshold. So, like, his ERA was solid too. Elite, even.
Which, Beam, if you're going to snub someone, I don't think it should be Beam getting snubbed either. Beam was so good this year.
Yeah, I thought Beam was better than Burns. You know, if you look at the whole body of work.
I mean, Beam was, yeah. Again, his stuff, I guess, isn't as overwhelming. You know, it's not like he has the kind of stuff that's going to end up on Pitching Ninja or on highlight packages. But, I mean, in terms of just being effective, yeah, he absolutely, I think, should have been on that first team.
The level of domination from this baseball team can be summed up with, a couple of stats. Maybe none bigger than Tennessee hitting 137 home runs while only giving up 133 earned runs all season. 137 home runs this team hit and only gave up 133 earned runs. They hit more home runs than the runs they gave up earned. Now, there were some unearned runs added into there. But according to Matt Dixon, 137 home runs, 133 earned runs. That's
that doesn't
about as dominant of a stat as you'll see.
That doesn't sound real at all. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's one of those that you're like, wait a second, hold on, what? Now, obviously, if you just reserved it to SEC play, it wouldn't look, you know, as dominant. But this team was awesome. And now they're set up. One seed headed down to Hoover. They will play Wednesday at 4:30, and they will play the winner of Vanderbilt Ole Miss. Of course, Tennessee 6-0 against Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. Charlie, do you have any wishes, any favoritism, anybody you want to see come out of that matchup?
I think I'd rather see Ole Miss.
Okay.
I just think Ole Miss has kind of ridden the arm of DeLuca back into relevance this year, but they aren't deep when it comes to pitching, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think they use their best pitcher to get out of the single elimination on Tuesday. And then whatever they throw at you on Wednesday, I think you could easily beat. I think you should beat. I think there's a chance that Ole Miss will maybe even just save their second best arm to just try to maybe say, hey, we'll probably lose to Tennessee. Let's save our second best arm to pick up another win or two just to really make sure that resume is where we want it at.
Yeah, because, I mean, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, they're in the single elimination portion of the SEC tournament, right? So you would think they will throw their best arms and try to go all out to get that win and to get to play some more games. Vanderbilt currently, I believe, a 2 seed in the latest D1 baseball projections. Ole Miss, a 3 seed. So of the two, Ole Miss may be a little bit more desperate to try to reel off some wins, although Vanderbilt, for as good as I felt they had been playing, they really laid an egg this weekend. So maybe they're wanting to really bounce back in Hoover. So, you know, maybe they'll match the desperation Ole Miss has.
I mean, is that two weekends in a row, though, for Vandy, where they got swept this weekend and then lost 2 out of 3 to A&M, right?
Was there not Arkansas sprinkled in there? I thought they had took 2 out of 3 from Arkansas the weekend sandwiched in. When did they play A&M? I thought they played – did they not go from Georgia, where they helped us win the East, to Arkansas?
Did. They did. I don't know. What I was thinking of, yeah, they did.
They played A&M the weekend before Georgia and lost 2 out of 3. Then went to Georgia May 6th, and again, they beat them and helped us win the East.
And then helped us win the SEC against Arkansas, yeah. And then they just got swept, which...
They got dominated. I mean, they lost 13-2 to LSU, 8-3 in Game 2, and 21-10 in Game 3.
Tim Corbin, like, wasn't even speaking to media.
Yeah, he was dodging.
After the game.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like that's pretty tough. I mean, like, I don't know what his reasoning is. I would assume he's just mad at his team because, again, they got their ass kicked. They gave up, 42 runs over a three-game weekend, right? 13 plus 8 plus 20, 21, that's 42 runs. Get outscored 42 to 15 in a weekend series. That's not necessarily how you want to end the season. For as much as we're talking about Tennessee, you know, thriving at the end by sweeping Mississippi State, that's the opposite of what Vanderbilt's doing, as they just got beat 42 to 15.
Wow.
And he dodges the media, which doesn't seem like something you should do if you're the, you know, most respected coach maybe in the sport, or at least one of, if not the most.
Tony Vitello would talk to the media after a loss.
Many are saying. We don't really have to deal with embarrassing losses around here.
We think. So we don't really know what that's like.
Yeah.
Well, Tony Vitello specifically doesn't know what that's like.
Yeah, we know what it's like to lose games, but yeah, not so much in baseball. We'll continue looking at the SEC field and some tournament projections after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
You're heating and air.
So you say you want to play Ole Miss?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I just think that gives you the best possibility to not only win, but to maybe get in a situation where you have a comfortable lead. Because I think Ole Miss, you could jump out on them early, potentially, based on who they throw. And if you're able to do that, then you could use like a Mark McLaughlin and a Will Mabry maybe, and maybe a Xander Seacrest gives, maybe you can get four innings out of him to close the game and just save all your best arms to continue to make a run in Hoover. So I think that's who I'd rather play. I mean, Vanderbilt, as bad as they just got that tail whooped, they still have a pretty solid pitching staff, or at least a pitching staff capable of being solid. They have some guys, specifically Maldonado, I feel like they've seen Tennessee, that have given Tennessee some trouble. So, yeah, I would think I would rather play Ole Miss. Also, I just think, is Tim Corbin still a pretty good coach, obviously. And when you get into the postseason, that coaching becomes a little bit more important as well. So I'd rather have the coaching advantage too.
I just don't really want to deal with Vanderbilt's leadoff hitter either. Spencer Jones, I just don't want to. That's who it is,
Enrique,
right?
Bradfield.
Okay. That's
Enrique Bradfield's the one that if he gets on first base, he's on third base two pitches later.
Okay, sorry.
You can pitch out twice and he'll still just be on third base.
Yeah. Don't want to deal with old Enrique. I also don't want to give Vanderbilt – it's tough. Like, it's kind of funny that you're going to be playing one of these teams. I don't really want to give either one the satisfaction of redemption against Tennessee because you swept them. You're 6-0 against them. You dominate them.
Right.
So I don't really want to give them a chance for redemption and, them beating Tennessee and then being able to say, well, the postseason's all that matters. I guess I could more easily stomach a loss to Ole Miss than Vanderbilt. So I guess for that reason I'm rooting for the Rebels.
I mean, that's another good point. Also, don't really want to have to, hear a whistler during the broadcast. Really don't want to have to listen to a whistler.
Fair point by you. That's the way I always look at these situations. Like, we are the hunted here, obviously. We are the season makers. I don't want to sound like a Kentucky basketball fan, but we are the Super Bowl. We are the big game that you go hunting for. I don't really want either one of these teams to have the satisfaction of beating Tennessee. I know that, Tennessee can easily say we got bigger fish to fry. And, would you rather lose in the championship of the SEC tournament, Charlie, or just go 0-2 and be able to kind of go home on Thursday? If you had to pick a route for Tennessee.
I would actually still rather lose in the championship.
Okay.
Which I guess logically there's not a ton of reason to want that. Like, if you're not going to get the victory, championship.
You want some heartbreak there, do or die, winner take all game. You want to know what that's like to lose that again? Okay.
If you're not gonna win a championship, maybe it would be better to get that extra rest and to, get everyone in a good position. From a pitching staff perspective, to all be able to go on that first Friday and all be completely rested for that first Friday But I think that the more SEC tournament games that this roster can play, the better. You know, getting Drew Beam in a postseason game, getting Chase Burns in a postseason game, getting Chase Dolander in a SEC postseason game, you know, even though it's the SEC tournament, just so next weekend isn't the first experience in postseason baseball for some of these guys, I think it's maybe an underrated thing. And also just getting to the SEC championship, you continue that momentum that I think this team has kind of recaptured with, first of all, the midweek win against Belmont and then continuing that into the weekend.
Okay.
So going 0-2 could stall that, and I don't know where this team would be at come postseason, but if you can lose in the championship, despite the fact that maybe not everyone will be rested come Friday, I'd still just rather have that.
And I wonder how the fans feel. I don't know if I want to put a poll up because I don't want to deal with the constant replies of, this is stupid, this is negative, why are we even talking about losing, we're going to win. Because I think we're going to win. Like, I think we're the best team by far. And obviously, like, if I give you the option of winning the SEC tournament, everyone's taking that. Like, we'd rather win the SEC championship and, you know, not have to worry about the rest and worry, you know, we'll just take our chances in the regional, you know, after you know, getting home on Sunday night and probably partying and getting reset for, you know, to host a regional on Friday. But I do wonder, like, to me, it's either championship or bust in this SEC tournament. So, like, either give me the championship or just let me go 0-2. Tennessee would play the winner of Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and down at their end of the bracket, if they were to advance to a a Friday game? No. If you win on Wednesday, you play on Thursday. A Thursday game potentially against what? It'd be the winner of Auburn and Kentucky. Auburn and Kentucky plays the LSU, right? So whoever wins between Auburn and Kentucky gets LSU. So then Tennessee could theoretically have a rematch from the Super Regionals against LSU, or, you know, a rematch against a pretty good Auburn team that, you know, probably played you the best for a whole series, would you say? You know, outside of Kentucky, which, you know, obviously beat you in a series, but
I think you played good baseball against Auburn, and they still played well against you.
That's a fair distinction. I was going to say, like, you know, obviously Kentucky beat you, but you didn't play very good, and it was raining, and it just felt off the whole time. Auburn, I don't want to say took your best shot, because I don't think anybody can handle Tennessee's best shot, but you played pretty well against Auburn, and they were still right there with you, you know, giving you all you wanted. I think Auburn's a pretty solid team. Again, I don't think anybody could handle Tennessee's best shot, so I don't want to say they handled our A game, because that's not the case. But they bothered you.
At this point, like, it to me, it doesn't matter if you play Auburn or LSU.
Yeah.
I guess you try to think about who has the best or, like, deepest pitching.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you look at Auburn and LSU, like, I don't really know if you can differentiate between the two from a pitching perspective that much.
Uh-huh.
I guess LSU has better pitching. I think Auburn has the better pitching coach in Tim Hudson. He does a better job managing those guys, but Auburn's bullpen not as deep. So I guess maybe you'd rather play Auburn there. But either way, I mean, at that point, you're playing a good baseball team that you feel like you're better than. And, you know, you're trying to pull it out. Which, if you win the first two games, then you don't play again until Saturday. Right,
right. Right.
And then, you know, that could be a
whole, it could be anybody in terms, right. Once you start getting to the double elimination and winners and losers bracket, it starts getting hard to track on, like, who your potential opponents would be. So pretty much what we know now is that you're going to play the winner of Vanderbilt Ole Miss on Wednesday. And then if you win that game, you're going to play either LSU or Auburn most likely, unless Kentucky gets hot and wins too, which I don't really see happening. You going down to Hoover? You making plans to go down there?
I haven't decided yet. How far is Hoover again? Like 4 hours?
4 hours from, like, downtown Knoxville, so, you know, give or take.
I remember I went last year just for the championship game against Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
We just sat in empty seats that were right behind the dugout. It was a lot of fun. Hoover was pretty cool.
Yeah, my plan is to my plan is to go down either Friday night, not go to Friday's game, you know, because hopefully Tennessee is just playing Saturday if they go 2-0, and then going Saturday and Sunday. That's kind of my plan now.
That's what, if I were, yeah, I mean, if I was going to go, I was going to go Saturday morning and just stay the Saturday night.
Yeah, that's kind of my plan now.
I just think the vibe for, like, tournaments is always really fun. For baseball tournaments, I think is really fun, too. But, I mean, you could just kind of feel the energy in the town, like the energy in and around the stadium. Obviously, the Hoover Met, a cool place to go catch a game, I think. And just having all the different SEC fans in town, I always like. It's not like college basketball, where it's just 80% Kentucky fans, and it's really just annoying to be around them.
Right.
Instead, it's a really big mix of all the fan bases, and everyone's just kind of there being friendly and having a pretty good time.
Except Mississippi State and Missouri. I don't guess they'll be hanging out.
Sadly.
It is wild when you think of Tennessee baseball through that lens of, like, how far, you know, we're not that far removed from, like, you know, hoping to just make it into the field of 12.
We made it to the SEC tournament for the first time in years, guys. Woohoo!
And people were excited about that.
Yeah. I was like jumping up and down, running around my wherever I was living at the time when we were making the SEC tournament.
That it was a big accomplishment. And now here we sit, you know, as the one seed talking about it's a failure if you don't win it. That's a nice turnaround. I don't need to tell you that Tony Vitello has turned the program around. Obviously, I know that you could figure that out yourself. But it is wild when you think of it through that lens. Of, again, not too long ago, you were hoping just to make the field, to make your conference tournament. That's kind of absurd.
I mean, it just are there any other, I guess, basketball that you can just turn a program around that quickly?
I mean, yeah, I mean, Barnes did something similar, right, where his first year you're playing in the 13-14 matchup, or I guess it was the 12-13 matchup because I believe you had someone that was ineligible.
And
you're playing Bruce and Auburn's team, and then the next year it's like Auburn and Tennessee are like at the top of the conference. So, I mean, like, Barnes did do a pretty similar job as to what Vitello's done. Now, I would say that Tennessee baseball has been dormant for way longer than Tennessee basketball was, right? Like, Tennessee basketball, you know, had the Donnie Tindall wasted season before Barnes got there. But, like, Konzo's last year, you did make the Sweet 16. So, again, it wasn't like you were a laughingstock or a doormat for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years like Tennessee baseball was prior to, you know, really prior to Vitello.
I just think back to, like, my freshman year of college, Tony Vitello's first year, where I was writing for, like, student newspaper and then, like, some other internship, and I would just be the only one at, like, Tennessee fall practice and Tennessee spring practice for baseball, or sometimes it would just be, like, me and Boomer Dangle.
Yeah.
and, like, you just talk to Tony Vitello, like, one-on-one, or even, like, the Tennessee-Florida series that year when Florida was number one and they had Jonathan India and, you know, they beat you by 20-plus runs at home in front of, like, roughly 112 people. And, you know, like, the Florida play-by-play radio guys were just making fun of Tennessee's facilities and press box. And even the SID was like, hopefully, you know, they complain even more and it'll finally be embarrassing enough for someone to care and fix Tennessee baseball. And, you know, it just – even from, you know, how Tony Vitello's first year, just the turnaround in every single regard to, like, you've added extra bleachers and, you know, it's hard to find a ticket to a midweek game against Belmont. None of it even makes sense to think about on how it just happened so quickly.
But I mean,
it's truly awesome. I love that this is where we're at.
I mean, I'm looking right here. It looks, by my quick math and judging this website, that from 2005, which was the last time you made, you know, the tournament, from 2005, you know, basically until, you know, 2021, I mean, you had a losing conference record for 15 straight years. Is that right? You didn't have a winning record in conference after 2005 until, you know, 2 years ago?
I think that sounds right. I've, yeah, that's right. Like, looking back at each year,
Because
you went such a long time without even really making it. I don't even think you made it to the double elimination portion of the SEC tournament for almost a decade.
I mean, yeah, that sounds like you're probably right. But just again, I'm reading just, you know, it's the baseballcube.com. They put all these together. And of course, 2020, I think you probably would have finished over 500 in SEC. COVID year.
Did they have that record listed?
You were 15-2.
Did we get that first SEC series against South Carolina, or did it get canceled right before? Do you remember?
It got canceled right before.
Okay.
The last game you played, you beat ETSU 17-5 on March 10th. And then, yeah, you know, that was right when COVID really started, you know, ramping up. March 13th, that weekend series canceled. So you didn't get to SEC play. I don't know what the shape the league was in at that point, but it feels like we would have had a chance to finish over 500. So
I think you would have. I think you would have probably been you would have had a potential to host a regional that year.
But from 2020 through 2006, you finished under 500 in conference play every single year. Five of those years, Charlie, you didn't even get to 10 wins.
10 wins. Oh, God.
In conference, obviously, not your full schedule. But
wow.
In conference, five of those years, you didn't get to 10 wins. You were 7-21 in Dave Serrano's final year before Vitello got there. You were 9-21 the year before. You were 7-23 in 2000. I guess it would be 2011, Todd Raleigh's last year. Serrano went 8-22, 9-19, 12-18, 11-18, 9-21, 7-21. That was the Dave Serrano experience. Vitello gets here in 2018. You improve by five games. You go from 7-21 in conference to 12-18. Then you get to 14-16. Then you get SEC canceled for COVID, and you come back and you win, you know, 2/3 of your conference games, 20-10, and then now you are at 25-5. So I know we're talking about championship and bust, or championship or bust, but like really, it's hard not to just look at this SEC tournament field and just marvel at the job that, you know, Vitello's done and Frank Anderson's done. Because Vitello, you know, I was reading an article, I believe it was on D1 Baseball, Charlie, where, you know, they're talking again about Tennessee maybe being the best team all time. And Vitello was really made sure to be like, hey, you know, this doesn't happen without Frank Anderson. So make sure you all give him his proper respect. This doesn't happen without him. And says he's kept us afloat with the pitching. But now, actually, like, we have some dogs, basically. He's like, you know, we finally got him some elite talent in the pitching staff. And obviously, you've seen what's happened here. When asked about his approach to the SEC tournament, right, because we know we've been talking about that, and how, you know, if you want to try to make as deep a run as possible, even if you don't win it or just get out. And, you know, Vitello was asked about it, and he just said, honestly, we just want to play competitive baseball. The pitching selections may dictate what we are trying to achieve. We want to continue to play good baseball. Our goal is to keep playing good ball. School's out for summer. And these guys need to have fun and appreciate the opportunity to play this game by playing good baseball. So what do you think he means right there when he says that, you know, this, you know, the matchups may dictate what they do?
I think to me it sounds like a coach that's saying we're obviously going to give it everything we have, and this is important to us.
Okay.
And we think that we have a pretty good chance to win it just by going out there and playing the best baseball, no matter who we put on the field. But I think it also kind of feels like a coach saying, we're not going to do anything to push for an SEC tournament championship that would put the first weekend of the postseason, you know, in some kind of jeopardy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I was going to say, it seems like he's trying to maybe leave himself some wiggle room where he's not saying, hey, we're going all out for it. But like, if, you know, on Wednesday, if you will, if Ole Miss is throwing their fourth starter, we might not be throwing our number one. You know, maybe we're throwing our fourth guy or fifth guy, maybe even. Is that fair to read that into it? Like, hey, you know, we're going to maybe throw Huntley or, you know, someone, you know, some of the other starting pitchers. Seacrest?
I think that you could see Xander Seacrest.
Yeah, Seacrest is who I should have said. Yeah, like Seacrest, you could see him go out there and get the start on Wednesday. Now, maybe that's not the case, but he's saying, when he says matchup dependent, like if Ole Miss seems like they're punting on Wednesday, then maybe, again, you're not throwing Dahlander or Burns or...
I think it also kind of sounds like, hey, you know, if we end up in that loser's bracket, we're not going to burn through our arms.
Yeah, that's fair, too. Maybe that's more likely that he's saying, hey, we're not going to be desperate and chase this.
Yeah, like, basically, you know, we will take what we get. We will take it as it comes. We will treat guys normally, and we'll give you our normal lineups, and guys will throw normal amounts. But, again, we will do nothing to burn arms. We will do nothing to jeopardize everyone being rested and ready to go on Friday for the regionals.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I really want to win an SEC championship, obviously. I imagine you do, too. Winning an SEC tournament is cool and fun.
I mean, winning back-to-back SEC championships in basketball and baseball would be a really big accomplishment for this men's program. Like, I know, you know, the women, you know, broke the streak in between it with the softball. But, like, you know, like, for the men to be SEC men's tournament champions in basketball and then to follow it up with baseball.
We're going 3 in a row.
Yeah. You're calling like regular season, or are we talking tennis?
Football.
Or? Oh, okay.
Football's going to carry it on too.
I didn't know if tennis won the SEC championship and I missed it.
They did make it to the Final Four this weekend and lost.
Yeah, I saw that they lost, but I didn't know if they'd won the SEC championship or not.
Did you see there's a graphic that someone tweeted out, the SEC schools ranked by average conference win percentage?
Yep. The SEC schools ranked by average conference win percentage. Now, I will say this is, you know, obviously bolstered a lot by going 25 out of 30.
Right.
In baseball. Like, that helps pick up the football team, you know, going. What they end up going in the SEC
four
play?
And
4-4. So, like, you know, when you add that all up, like, 29 and 9 is pretty damn hard to beat, right, when you look at those two schools together.
Yeah, but you're the only one that has a record of 500 or better in every sport. Because they include football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, men's and women's tennis, soccer, and volleyball.
And Tennessee's been solid at all of them. Now, again,
the only SEC team that's not below 500 in any of them.
And I acknowledge that, you know, we're gassed up and propped up by the baseball team being 25-5. But when you take all of those sports, throw them together, the graphic is as follows. Missouri, no surprise. Or are you surprised they're in last place?
Not surprised.
Okay. They won, you know, we'll just call it, I'll round up a little bit. They won 31% of their games. Vanderbilt, 32% of their games. Mississippi State, 42% of their games. I'm a little surprised that Alabama's at 42% of their games. Like, I know the baseball team wasn't very good.
Women's basketball also held them back. They were 0-12 in men's tennis and 2-16 in volleyball. That's what really held them back.
Oof, because they're down at 42%. And again, we know football's only 8 games, so it doesn't have as big of a
That's actually awful.
Impact. that is pitiful.
A combined 2-28 in volleyball and men's tennis.
Now, I don't know like how much they actually care about those sports there. Like,
maybe obviously
they're just, like,
not that much.
Maybe they're just like, you know what? Football's all that kind of matters. And yeah, Nate Oates, step it up a little bit. LSU, 47.5%. A&M and Auburn at 49.9%. And then you get, you know, half the teams that are above 500. Ole Miss comes in at 50.7. Kentucky comes in at 52.6. South Carolina at 53%. Georgia at 57%. Arkansas at 58.3%. Florida at 59.5%. And with a pretty big margin, from 59.5% all the way up to 67%, Tennessee, the kings and queens of the SEC. What do you make of it, Chuckles? 67.2%.
That Danny White obviously inherited some athletic programs that were headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
But he's done a great job continuing to keep things stable, and that Tennessee athletics as a whole, people kind of sleep on them because football is obviously the attention getter, but they have just been one of the best athletic programs in the country. You know, I was talking to someone the other weekend, and I told him that. I was like, I think Tennessee overall, when you just, you know, when you don't weight football extra, is one of the overall best athletic programs in all of the nation. And they kind of scoffed at me, and it's like, that's impossible. No way. But then when you look at each sport individually,
there's no weakness,
there's
really.
No, yeah, I mean, there's no one that's really – I mean, football is your weakness. And you're still – we're 4-4, and you have a ton of positive momentum.
And I would still like to point out you're 4-4, and you know you have the two best teams in your conference every damn year on your schedule, and you're one of two teams that have to deal with that.
Right.
But I would say that football is in a pretty good place nationally in terms of, like, perception. Obviously, the baseball team, historically good. And the basketball team, you know, won the conference championship and finished, what, second or third in the conference? Like, a second? A game out of, you know, first place?
Right.
Everything's really, really good right now.
77 divided by 117.
What are we doing here? What is 77 and 117?
That can't be right.
I think you need to do 117 divided by 77 if you're looking for like some type of win percentage.
I am.
Yeah. No, you need it to be the other way. No, you need
77
to be,
divided by 117.
Yeah. It should come out like 0.7 something.
That's not right then.
What are you trying to add? Never mind.
I was trying to take out the 25-5 for baseball and figure out your win percentage.
What does it fall down to?
That wasn't right. That was not right.
Hour one in the books. We'll try to figure out the math during the break. We'll kick off hour two of headlines.
Hey, Russell Smith here for Linderman Sports Medicine. The